Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Reni. Welcome back to Reni's Heart to Heart. Happy Monday, if there is such a thing. Although it was pretty good day today, no rain here in South Florida, at least not by my house, and the puddles are starting to grow up or dry up, and my flowers are happy again to have some sunshine. So all in all, a pretty nice day. I want to talk about something that's very close to my heart tonight, and that is my rights. As a 64-year-old woman who has worked hard my whole life, given birth to four children, stayed married for the 46 years, and done all the things that I always believed I was supposed to do in my role as a woman, a mom, a wife, I guess I'm hurt by some of the things that I read every day, because a lot of times I don't think about them. A lot of times I don't think about the fact that more often than not, we females are treated like second-class citizens. And that's pretty unfair. I looked up a lot of stuff today because as I said, I don't think about it a lot. I don't give a lot of energy to the fact that it seems like if I can do the same job as a man, I should be paid the same as a man. If I can go to war, if I can shoot a gun, I'm always very proud when I see women out there driving big backhoes and steam shovels and what have you. Why? Because we're very, very capable. And just like men are very capable of being Mr. Mom, we are capable of working like a man. And there are some differences, obviously, but I don't think they're differences that should alter our rights. I believe this is a partnership in this world. Men and women are here to support each other for reasons that I think were planned out way, way, way back in the very beginning. But before I get into too much of that, I want to kind of enlighten everybody. April 17th, in 2012 was proclaimed Equal Pay Day. And it symbolizes how far into 2012 the average woman must work to earn what the average man earned in 2011. While the wage gap has certainly narrowed with the past generation of working women, in 1967, women only earned about 58 cents to a man's dollar. Progress has stalled in recent years. If progress continues at its current rate, it will take 45 years to eradicate the wage gap. Now, in 2010, a woman who worked full-time year-round still only earned 77% of what men earned for the same job. This is apples to apples. The gender wage gap does not affect individuals. Entire families are impacted by a woman's earnings. In 2010, in nearly two-thirds of the families, 63.9%, a mother was either the breadwinner, either a single working mother or bringing home as much or more than her husband, or a co-breadwinner, bringing home at least a quarter of the family's earnings. When women's wages are lowered due to gender discrimination, their family incomes are often significantly lowered as well. Women also earn less racially and ethnically, depending on whether you're an African American, a Hispanic American. There's a difference there as well, and it's substantial. African American women earned 89.8% compared to black men, and Hispanic women earned 91.3% compared to Hispanic men. So they're actually doing better than the rest of us. Even though women are outpacing men in getting college degrees, that's not enough to close the gender pay gap. But that's interesting, isn't it? Women are more likely to work in low-wage, pink-collar jobs such as teaching, childcare, nursing, cleaning, and waitressing. I take real offense to that whole sentence. Pink-collar jobs makes it sound like it's, not important at all. And yet we're talking about our homes. We're talking about our children. We're talking about our health. Well, how much more important can you get than that? Am I missing something there? Nursing and teaching are probably two of the most thankless jobs that there are in some circles. Mind you, you can get the occasional patient that understands that you care about them and you're doing something for them. But I've been in hospitals many, many times, and it can be very thankless and long hours. Most nurses do 12-hour shifts 4 days a week, things like that, sometimes even longer than that. But the wage gap accumulates over time. Over a 40-year working career, the average woman loses $431,000 as a result of the wage gap. A lifetime gap for a woman who did not finish high school is $300,000, while the lifetime wage gap for a woman with at least a bachelor's degree, now is everybody ready for this? $723,000. Making sure that the young woman understand the importance of negotiating for good pay from day one should be a pressing policy concern and is included in the Paycheck Fairness Act. So in other words, it's up to us, again, to fight for our rights, to fight for the fact that we're women. I don't know. Again, am I missing something here? Could this world survive without women? In any way, could it survive without women? Single women are even more adversely affected by the wage gap than married women. Single women earn only 78.8% of what a married woman earns, and only 57 cents for every dollar that a married man earns. Now, I watched an interesting video in 1980. Oprah Winfrey talked about her first job and the men that she worked beside were making, you know, like 50 grand a year in 1980, and she was being paid 20, and she was doing the same job that they were doing. And when she went to her boss and said, "I want a raise," and he said, "What do you need a raise for?" And she said, "Because I'm doing the same job as Larry Moe and Curly over here, and I'm not making the same money." Well, do you own a house? No. Do you have children? No. Well, then what do you need extra money for? Larry Moe and Curly over here have homes to pay for and children to raise. So that was her answer. So in the video I watched, she said, "That's the day I decided that I had to own my own company so that it was up to me how much I made and how much I was worth instead of somebody judging the fact that I'm not as important as a man." More than 40% of the wage gap cannot be explained by occupation, work experience, race, or union membership. More than one quarter of the wage gap is due to the different jobs that men and women hold. And about 10% is due to the fact that women are more likely to leave the workforce to provide unpaid care to family members. Oh my God, I'm getting so sick of that excuse I could scream. Even if women and men have the same background, the wage gap still exists, highlighting the fact that part of the discrepancy can be attributed to gender-based pay discrimination. Mothers, we all have one. If we're here on this earth, it's pretty safe assumption that someplace in your life there's been a mom. They earn 7% less per child than a childless woman. Now, can somebody, if it's important that you have children to raise to make more money, then why does this wash the other way? The Lilly Ledbetter Fair Pay Act, helps female and minority workers challenge discriminatory pay in the courts. But the Paycheck Fairness Act, which has yet to pass into law, now this paper was written in 2012, and I could not find anything about this yet other than the fact that Obama is supposed to be passing some laws in regard to this. Now, here's the deal, everybody. And I'd be interested in hearing what anybody has to say about this. Why are we just not treated equally? Why does legislation have to make it so? Why does somebody, anybody, have to vote about whether we are equal to our partners? Why? If somebody could explain that to me, so that it really makes sense and so that it's not just political jargon, I'd love to hear it. Because I, for one, think we hold up our end of the ladder in a lot of cases better than some of our counterparts. And I've said on this show, and I'll say it again, I have a lot of men in my life, and I love them all very much. And I have great respect for a lot of men. But on the same token, I love a lot of women, too, and have tremendous respect for women, because our hearts are most often in the right place, and for that, we seem to get punished. And yet we talk about kindness, we talk about love, we talk about peace, we talk about harmony, we want all of that, but we don't want to be fair to the equal part of our world, the female. I don't get it. I don't get it at all. I'm going to bring in Shelley, and if anybody's got anything out there that they'd like to say in regard to this, I would love to hear it. And if anybody has any ideas on how we can be heard without having to stand on a soapbox every time we think that something has been taken away from us or never given to us to begin with, I'd like to hear what it is. Hi, Miss Shelley. How are you?
Doing real good, Rainey. How are you doing, hon?
I'm good. How was Chicago?
Oh, it was exciting. It was an excellent trip. Learned a lot, as usual. And I love these seminars, and we had a lot of fun. And we kind of ended it on a fun note yesterday. We just kind of spent the day in the city, so it was a very, very, very good event. I'm always glad that I make the decision to go to these things.
Well, good. So what do you have to say about tonight's topic? I was perusing the internet today, and of course I always look at the sites that are about bullying, and there were some more very distressing stories, and I thought to myself, I wasn't in the mindset to tell more sad stories about some of the kids that are out there that are being so abused. And as I looked through the internet, I came upon some information about women's rights. So I looked closer. And of course, I asked my grandchildren if they all knew what a suffragette was. And even the older one said, "I think it has something to do with women." And I said, yes, it does have something to do with women. And
wow.
We talked a little bit about the fact that, you know, as women, way back when, we had a fight to be allowed to vote. We had a fight to be allowed to walk into a restaurant that served alcohol. We had to fight to have any kind of equality. And what's sad about that is all that fighting, all those amazing, strong women, and it still has to go to court, Shelley, to find out if we should have a right. What is the deal with that? the equality should already be there, hands down, no questions asked, no crap. It should just be. I don't know about you, but I don't feel like I know any man or woman, for that matter, that I think is more important than I am.
Well, a lot of the inequalities is, you see a lot of it being perpetrated by, you know, you've heard the term, you know, the old boys club, and the times that I've seen it happen, or that I believe it's happened to me, was when I was dealing in situations where the mindset was that I shouldn't have been in a particular job that I was in because it was technically considered a man's position and that kind of a thing. That the last time I had a job that was looked at that way, I would have to say that probably 90% of the men on the job did not feel that way. They were happy to see women in different positions, but there were a select few that unfortunately wielded a lot of clout that did not feel that way. They felt that certain jobs were for women and certain jobs were for men, and if they did speak to you, they spoke to you in a very condescending way. I mean, it was obvious, you know. And although I chose not to react to it, I certainly was observant enough to realize where they were coming from and that they were being patronizing and not sincere. And I just maintained my self-respect, you know, because I felt that I was completely entitled in being there because the bottom line is I was doing the work. And I was doing it I was doing the work better than my predecessor, who was a man. So this is a mindset. A lot of that comes from insecurity, from men who don't want to share the limelight with women.
I don't think it's that small, honey. I don't think it's that small. I think it's a lot bigger than that. This is not an individual thing. This is the world in general. We are treated as though we have to vie for every right we think should be ours. So instead, why does the president of the United States of America have to pass a law that says we should get the same amount of money that a man gets for doing the same damn job? Why?
That's
why,
right?
Isn't that just a given?
That's right. Well, look at how many countries there are around the world that still don't even recognize that women have rights. I mean, they're literally second-class citizens. You know,
We are here too, honey. It's not, and I'll tell you something, I think you'd be surprised because I did research that as well, and there are some countries that would surprise you to know that there's actually a lot of laws and, what's the right word, and not just laws, but rules, guidelines in regard to how women should be treated. So, and I don't care about that. I think it's my job to make sure that I'm treated well. They talk in a lot of other countries, they talk about abuse to women and slave trade and sexual things and all that kind of stuff. And I realize that happens here, but I also believe that that is something that a woman, with all fairness, needs to take care of herself. I don't want somebody else telling me how I should manage that either, to be honest with you. But I do think that if every time it's time for me to get a raise, because I know the guy that just came in and is doing half the job that I've been doing because now we're going to share the responsibilities, he's making $30,000 or $40,000 more a year than I am. Why
mm-hmm.
should I have to go to fight for that? Why is that even acceptable behavior? It's, you know,
well,
if I'm not worth my salt, say goodbye to me.
Behavior. You know, and but you have to understand, the level of chauvinism that still exists in the world is prevalent. You would think it wouldn't be, just like we were talking about the other day with prejudice and bigotry. You would think with all the different types of ethnicities and religions that are in different positions of great, great, great contribution to society, you would think that there would be no prejudices or bigotry anymore. And look how prevalent that still is. this is actually another form of prejudice and bigotry. You come right down to it, because you're this is gender discrimination. It's no different than judging somebody because their skin is different or their religion that you don't abide by. It really is just another form of bigotry, classifying a particular person as worthy of being treated fairly or in line with somebody who's not that gender. You know?
Yeah, but you see, I'm not looking at it like that. I'm looking at it as we are half men and we're half women, as a rule. I mean, not completely 50-50, but there's women in the world and there's men in the world. And in order to have a family, we need to have both genders. Now, yes, I believe in gay rights. I don't want to get into that arena of this, but the fact of the matter, even in a gay situation, there is the male counterpart and the female counterpart, no matter whether they're two men or two women. So we get all that. But at the end of the day, human beings, not cats or dogs or tigers or bears, oh my, human beings, there are females and there are males. And there is no honest to goodness, decent, feasible reason why we should be treated any differently.
That's right.
None. And it's not about individual bigotry, even though that lends into it. But if it was what it should be, that wouldn't be such acceptable behavior anymore. And every time we have to go to court to make sure we get a right that men have always possessed, instead of it being a notch in our belt, it's another inch up our heels. Because we shouldn't have to fight for rights that should be ours.
Right, but the people, the men, who have these powers and see the change in the world, and again, I agree with you on one subject, that it's shocking that in the year 2013 that even still exists, but the bottom line is there are mostly men in high places of power and wealth, and they're not ready to relinquish that. So they're going to suppress women's ability to have this and experience this equality for as long as they can keep, throwing a monkey wrench in the progress. And just like every other battle that's out there, some of the ones I just mentioned, eventually it will be the exception to the rule that a woman is treated unfairly, or the exception to the rule that, some of the other situations we discussed. But the bottom line is that the men who control this don't want to relinquish the power. Some of the type of men that are in power are extremely chauvinistic. They do not believe that women belong in the workplace, period. And like I said, I've met some of these men, and it shocks me that that mentality exists, just the way it shocks me that bigotry of any type still exists today. I can't wrap my brain around it. But this is quite
deliberate. Well, and that's the whole point. First of all, it never should have been. But, this all goes back to understanding the Bible and reading the things that were written way before us and people's interpretation of what this means and what that means. I want to read you this so that who hasn't heard the urban legend that women must choose between family and career? 80% of women in the U.S. have children, and 80% of current Fortune 500 female CEOs also have children. Where equality is non-existent in the salaries of women who climb the corporate ladder, the female CEO makes 33 cents to every dollar the male CEO makes. For example,
wow.
The highest earning male CEO in the Fortune 500 earned $137.2 million in 2011, while the highest-earning woman CEO in the Fortune 500, now this is going to blow you away, earned $19.2 million.
Wow.
What is that, like a, what is that, like an eighth? Something like that, money, 140 would be 60. That's like an eighth of what of what the man earned. And their Fortune 500 companies, they, you know, they're oranges to oranges. So, again, how, why, I mean, how long are we going to have to fight to eradicate this kind of behavior? This is,
well, I can tell
you
one thing. We're definitely going to have to fight a little bit longer, but I do think that all these types of injustices are coming to their end. And I think the powers that be that perpetrate them and that keep perpetuating them realize that. And they're going to do everything in their power, which is quite extensive, incidentally, to keep it going as long as they can. But the whole thing is that the more it's talked about, the more it is railed against, the more we do continue fighting, it will eventually change and change permanently where we don't have to be in that position anymore. But we are in the middle of the fight right now, or we might even be the tail end of it. But the bottom line is things are changing dramatically around the world, and we're seeing that. And, you know, when you see these changes, you're going to see extremes in both directions. So you're going to see a lot of very, very good things happening, and you're going to see a lot of things that actually are worse than you've seen in a long time as things get cleared and improved and we move forward into treating each other the way we're supposed to and in an ethical way.
Well, and I don't disagree with any of that. And we've talked about this on many occasions, and we know that the changing winds are blowing. We any of us that worry about those things and that keep an eye on those things are aware of that, and we can almost feel the breezes kicking up now. I get all that. But the point I'm trying to make tonight, today, and the point I think needs to be taken very seriously. Does that mean when the winds of change really start to blow that we have to wait for our legislation to pass all these laws that say, oh, guess what, girls, you can do this now. And, oh, girls, by the way, if you're not too busy changing diapers, then you can do this too, and I'll even pay you very close to what I'm paying your husband. That's what I don't like, Shelley. And that's what I think is unfair, and that's what I think has to have something done about it. If we have, I'll be dead. I'll be gone by the time a woman gets true equality. And what scares me about that is my foremothers never saw any kind of equality. And even what I am seeing now is not true equality. It's still, you know, stand behind your man.
Mm-hmm.
Stand behind your man, because that's where you belong, honey. You know, look good in your outfit.
Yep.
Keep your hair done up nice. Don't wear something that's going to embarrass the president. I mean, geez. You know me very well, probably as good as anybody knows me, and I am all for people who work hard getting where they need to go, whether it's a man or a woman, and somebody that knows how to officiate in any kind of office and works their way up. I have no education. I don't have a right to sit in a courtroom or a right to sit in legislation. Legislation, because I don't have the kind of education that it takes to totally understand. But I'm also no dummy. And I know when I'm being treated like an equal, and when I'm being treated like a second-hand citizen. And I don't feel like a second-class citizen. I feel like most of the men that I know, even though I may not have the book learning that they have or some of the other things that they possess, I am certainly their equal, because I have a heart and I have a head and I have a mind and I know how to behave myself and I know how to do what's right and I know how to not do what's wrong. So for me, that makes me their equal, regardless of anything else. And to be treated anything different than that is embarrassing. It's embarrassing.
Yeah.
And how do you say to a young girl growing up today that that's what she's got to look forward to? Well, you can work your ass off, honey. You can even get into all the boys' schools. You can do whatever you want to do. But remember, you're always going to make, no matter how much money you do, and even though it'll keep you comfortable, and you'll probably be happy with it because you'll be doing better than anybody else, you know, but it won't be as good as the men are.
I know. It's incredible that we still go there. I totally agree with you on that. But, you know, the whole thing is that, like I said a few minutes ago, it is what it is right now, but it is also changing dramatically. It's shocking to me that it hasn't changed more dramatically to this point. But I do see changes, and I'm just, you know, I'm just in a place where women have got to look for ways of empowering themselves that, like what Oprah Winfrey did. There are a lot of programs out there to help women that women aren't even aware exist. You know, grants for women to start their own businesses. And a lot of times that is how a woman can even score a little bit, although I am disappointed in the statistic that you just gave about CEOs, corporations, or women don't get to that high top end that a man gets. But the bottom line is they can still close the gap a little bit by putting themselves in positions a little bit more independent so that their future is not being governed by a man. Their decisions not being made for them by somebody else of what their earning potential should be.
Well, the whole point is, I mean, even in the articles that I've read, you can see that there are some women in high-ranking places. But I'm looking right now. The Katherine Graham, who was in charge of the Washington Post, she wrote, "Once power was considered a masculine attribute. In fact, power has no sex." Amen, honey. Amen.
Okay.
And
exactly.
Marissa Mayer, who was just put in charge of Yahoo in 2012, if you can find something you're really passionate about, whether you're a man or a woman, comes a lot less into play. Passion is a gender neutralizing force. See, they all are saying the same thing, Shell. They're all saying that they get that there cannot be in this particular arena of equality, there cannot be a difference because you sit down to pee. There just can't be a difference.
Well, it's true.
So, I mean, you know, and they get it, and even they have achieved, but even, you know, you got IBM, Fortune 500 rank, number 19, Ginni Rometty. And in 2011, her salary was $8.3 million. And chances are, I mean, I don't have the statistics here because this is all about women, but chances are her counterpart that is a man, according to the statistics that I read in the very beginning, is probably making $108 million, not $8.3 million.
You saw that?
That's the staggering difference.
Wow. It is a staggering difference.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But like I said, the only thing you can do for women right now, you know, why it is that way, like I said, it's because the powers to be don't want to relinquish it. So the only thing we can do at this point is empower women to stay in the fight, not give up hope, not think it's going to be like this for another 50 years. A lot of times when, you know, like it's always darkest before the dawn, I mean, that's kind of a cliche, but what it means is that sometimes when things are just about ready to get to the point where it's okay, you know, you've won the battle, you know, you've succeeded in whatever you were trying to achieve, sometimes it's the most stressful just before you hit that level of accomplishment. So the only thing I can say to women is to keep asserting your right to equality and pay. If you have to fight for it and you can fight for it, fight for it. And it is literally a matter of time before that isn't the situation anymore. And I believe that wholeheartedly.
Well, I wish that I had your, I don't know, your optimism, because I don't, because it's taken a god-awful long time to get where we are, and we're still treated like we should be standing behind somebody else, and I think it's totally unfair. And
well,
when I...
That might help with that, because the conference that I went to this weekend was remarkable. It was a business education seminar and some training. And twice, because this was a three-day event, but on Saturday and on Sunday, I think it was four different lecturers that went up. Six different lecturers that went up. Three of them were women. And the men that spoke about the female energy. And actually spoke, and I was so thrilled that this came up there, because it certainly wasn't one of the topics, but two of the male speakers actually spoke about the fact that the business world is changing dramatically as more and more businesses recognize the accomplishments and contributions of women, and that in many cases it has been their personal observation that many of the women they deal with actually outperformed the men who were making more of them. So this is sort of a timely conversation for us to be having based on what I just went through. There are some organizations out there that are very, very ethically minded. And this particular organization that runs these business seminars that I go to is getting larger and larger. And one of their ethical mandates, and they do have ethical mandates, is that, you know, it's not to look at a person. They don't restrict anybody. You know, I mean, it's their attitude towards people in general is very uplifting, is very respectful, is very empowering, and they actually spoke about the fact that the women today are becoming more and more empowered. And that it's only a short matter of time before it's seen this way globally. But certainly within the ranks of this particular organization, it's getting high recognition. And there are other similar. It's not the only one out there. But so that's what I'm saying. Sort of where I put myself, I see a lot of this for women who are not in organizations that are run ethically and fairly like that. It can seem hopeless. It can seem like it's never going to change. But I've been extremely fortunate in the last 2 years to meet a lot of businessmen. I spoke to two different businessmen this weekend who have extreme respect for women. They would actually prefer to have a woman in a high management position because they find that they have clarity of thinking over men, and they find that their decisions are generally more based on morality. And that was a big issue for these two particular men that I spoke to, you know. So I am seeing a little bit more of the influx, and it's probably one of the reasons why I'm taking a little bit different stance to this. But I absolutely understand that it's not the majority yet, but I believe it is moving in that direction, and I think it's moving faster than it has in the last 50 years.
Okay. Now, how about this? I'm glad you feel that way. And I'm glad that has been your reaction when you're in these meetings and everything. And I've heard a lot of talk like this, a lot of talk about men understanding. But see, that's what irks me. Right there is what annoys me. It's because I would like to know why we have to get their approval before we're treated for what we're worth. That's what bothers me. And not that I don't applaud the fact that their eyes are finally opened, but how do you know, Shelley, that they're not going to be willing to put a CEO in charge of something so that they have more cash for their own pocket, because they're not going to pay the woman as much as they're going to pay the man to be the CEO?
These particular businesses I were talking about, that was one of the things they were discussing, that it's time for there not to be gender discrimination. And it was, like, that's why I was shocked that it even came up, and then this is the topic you're talking about today. That's what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
It was part of discussion about how, you know, men and women deserve to be not only respected but compensated equally to their male counterparts. So, in at least this small section of the business community, there are absolutely men who get it. There are absolutely, now I don't know if it's every single person that's involved in this company, because it's a networking situation, and there's a lot of companies involved. Every type of company you can imagine in the world is involved in this organization. You know, but I'm talking about the ones that were up on stage, the ones that were talking, and the few that I spoke to are actually as baffled by the discrimination as many women are. And if you look through history, many times there have been men who have joined the fight for women because they felt as strongly about the woman's rights being upheld as the women did. I mean, there have been men who have joined the fight alongside of women because they were very sensitive to that fact. So, you know, I don't think it's the majority, but I do think that there have been many men who have seen it. And it, in the shifting that's going on in the planet, I think, along with women becoming more enlightened and more empowered, I think that there is a certain percentage of men who are going in that direction as well. You know, but the bottom line I don't want women to stop fighting.
Well, they can't.
It's
that's the whole
point,
honey. Yeah, they can't
stop
fighting. That's what bothers me. It has to be a fight just to stay, not to play King of the Mountain, but to stay on the mountain with everybody else. That's the fight.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about choosing who's best for the job. It's about choosing which man is best for the job, and that still exists. And yes, I agree that, I've talked to many enlightened young men who get the fact that that there's a lot of women out there who are more than capable of running a company, more than capable of doing the same job, if not as well, better than a male counterpart. I know that there are men that believe that. The thing that I'm trying to, individuals really don't count in a game that's this big. They really, you know, they're like, I don't know, it's like, until there's a unified decision that there will be no more crap about, oh, let's take this to court. Let's, you and I, Shell, we'll put on our fighting boots and we'll go out there and we'll start talking to everybody and say, let's get a petition signed that women are equal to men. My point is that we shouldn't have to do that. When we landed on this earth the same time the men did, it wasn't about man is top dog and woman is the sidekick. You know, it's not the Lone Ranger and Tonto. It's two equal entities, and the other one complements the other one. You and I talked about that the first time we watched The Da Vinci Code. Do you remember?
Oh, yeah. That was great.
About how the perfect individual for any scenario has a woman's side and a man's side. The perfect mm-hmm. one is the one that has those two attributes. There's a lot of things as a woman that I wouldn't want to have anything to do with. Don't get me wrong. But if I feel like doing it, I don't want somebody telling me I can't.
Right.
But
right.
I'd have to hope that I make choices that are suitable for who I am. And I hope other women make choices that are suitable for who they are. But the problem is that they're not left up to us. People believe that men know how to make those choices. There's no question there. But there's a big question about women, whether or not they're quite, I mean, it's like we're the dim bulb, you know. And I don't appreciate that. And I am a dim bulb. Let me get that right out there, because like I said, no education, no this, no that, but I do know what's right and what's wrong. I was born with that. Nobody taught me that. I knew that, what's right and what's wrong. And it's wrong to think that there's a male, a boys club, like what you said earlier. There shouldn't be a boys club.
Well, first of all, I feel about this. I've said it to you before. First of all, in my eyes, you're absolutely not a dim bulb. I don't care what level of education you have. You're extremely intelligent. You're extremely perceptive. I'm only a high school graduate. I never went on to college, yet I hold myself, shoulder to shoulder with other people who do have college educations, and I can maintain myself in any conversation and with the work I have to do. So I don't think that actual formal education should denote somebody's intellect or ability to contribute to the session. You're extremely intelligent. But I don't have any education.
I guess that's the point. I don't think I'm a dummy, but I don't have the education that goes along with some of these other things. Let me kind of say that, because I don't, I don't think I'm a dumb person. I think, but I don't have an education. Mm-hmm.
Right, right. Well, you don't have a formal education in some of the areas that you talk about, but you have mm-hmm. life experience that replaces some of the formal education. And then that's kind of my experience also. Even though I didn't go on to college, I actually did some of the jobs. So instead of learning the theory first and then applying that to a job, I actually apprenticed at a job for weeks or months or whatever, and became expert and proficient at the actual work instead of learning the theory first and then applying it. So my life has been very different. And, you've known me a long time. Before I knew you, I had worked at, eight other companies and mostly in the military and industrial industry. And I learned a lot of very technical stuff, But the point I'm making is that when you have men that are looking at women like this, I'm not so sure that they actually see women as less intelligent. I think they see women as vulnerable and being able to be taken advantage of. I'm sure there's a word that I'm drawing a blank on right now. But they look at women as a gender that they can take advantage of, and like you said, and get more performance for less money. So it's absolutely a decision being made out of greed. There are some women, there are some men who are just so chauvinistic, they don't want to be shown up by a woman. I think in that particular case, and again, I'm talking from experience, because the different type of men I'm describing, I've actually met different men that fit these different descriptions I'm making right now. I've also met men that, if a woman showed them up and actually did something better than them, they wouldn't be able to deal with it. So they don't put themselves in that position. So they try to hold women down. They don't ever want to be in competition with a woman, so they make sure that they're only dealing with other men. They can deal with a man. They can, they pat each other on the back. They have all these kinds of conversations, but they cannot maintain themselves toe-to-toe with a woman. So they don't allow a woman to be in that position because they're too insecure of their own masculinity. Their issue, unfortunately, they're taking their issue and putting it on the woman, you know, because they can't deal with it. You know, so I've actually seen it in both cases where some of them, it's their own insecurities that's the reason they're suppressing the woman, or they're trying to take advantage of being able to get more work for less money type of deal, all right? And some of them really do believe that women aren't competent enough. They're just not willing to put it out there. So you do have several different mindsets. The one who's taking advantage of the situation, the one who really doesn't think that women are capable for whatever their reason. I think that's the least of the three, though, men who really don't think women can do it. I don't think that's really the reason that they do take advantage of women. And then you have the man who, whether he admits it or not, is so insecure that he will not put himself in position of being in competition for a woman, because if the woman outdid him, he wouldn't be able to handle it. You know, and I,
well,
I met a gentleman
again,
that,
that
my
that's
wife
on a, yeah, that that's a on a real small scale, though, still. The thing that I am trying to address and bring to the forefront is the fact that men are in a position almost always to make those kind of assessments of a female simply because she does not have the right to stand beside him. That's what bothers me. It's fair game.
But I don't think that that's true. I don't think that women don't have the right. I think women have to assert the right. It's not that we don't. There's no law that says we cannot make it. So that's the only reason why maybe I'm not talking on the same, like in where you're trying to go. Because I don't believe that we don't have the right. I don't believe that there's any legislation that gives companies the ability to pay a woman differently than a man. I believe they just do it. That's the only reason why there could be a lawsuit, because a woman is saying, look, you hired so-and-so, and he's a guy, now you hired me. It's discrimination like any other discrimination, gender discrimination.
That's
you know?
Right. But
so,
in order to change that, we have to go to court. We have to get legislation to change those laws. That's the point I'm making. There has to be...
What laws give a company a right to pay a woman less than a man? I don't know that there are laws that actually enable that. I think...
It's just the fact that it's been accepted for so long that it's everybody does it. Everybody gets away with it. That's the whole thing. Instead of us being treated equally from the get-go, and there being, you wouldn't dare say to a man, you know, well, Joe's making $500,000 to do this, but you know, I can't afford to pay that anymore, so I'll hire you to do this for this much money. That's the prerogative of any company. I get that, but it's only accepted. It's only morally accepted if you're doing it to a female. That's what I'm fighting. That's what I'm saying. There has to be. There should not be. We should not have to continuously and always fight to be treated equally, not for any reason. Once you get into the ballpark, if you don't hit a home run, then you're shit out of luck. I get that, and I wouldn't argue that point. But you ought to be able to play the game, Shell.
Mm-hmm.
You ought to be able to play the game without anybody having to change laws. Remember, like I said the other day, remember the suffragettes? We weren't allowed to vote for anybody. Remember the stories that we read now in books that people wrote about years ago. If a woman walked into a bar, it meant she was a harlot. She was a prostitute.
Right.
And how about judges? I'm gonna have to find this. I started looking for that today and got carried away with some other statistics I read. But I'd like to know when we had the first female Supreme Court judge. I'll bet it's been in my era.
I believe it's been
the last
sure.
60 years.
Sure.
So how sad is that? in itself. That's my point. I'm not trying to mandate again like everybody else has mandated the way it is now. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about simple equality without legislation involvement. If you can do it, I can do it. If I can't do it, then I can't do it. But I ought to have the right to be able to try or participate without some judge telling me, oh, yeah, now, okay, guess what we're going to do? We're going to let you girls do this now, or we're going to let you girls do that now. Or, well, it has to come up again because the board didn't vote on it yet. That's what has me, I don't know, I guess probably first of all angry, and second of all, it kind of hurts my feelings. When we talk about all the things that we talk about harmony and peace and making the world a better place to live, that's got to be one of the first places to start, isn't it, to make sure that everybody is considered equal?
Well, you know, one of the problems with our lawmakers is that a lot of laws have nothing to do with morality. You know, I'm a big fan of Judge Judy, you know, on TV. Mm-hmm. I think she's brilliant. I just like watching her. Some people think she's too curt, but she's got very simplistic morals, and I like listening to her. She just kind of, like, gets to the point. But one of the things, and I've heard her say this over and over and over again, sometimes she has had to make a judgment in a case where on a strictly moral and ethical level, the party that she had to decide against deserved to be the victor. But the laws allowed the other party or provided for the other party winning. And you could tell that it pissed her off. She would just keep asking question after question to see if there was some other way she could make the judgment because she didn't want to go the way the law was forcing her to decide. And she used to say all the time, if laws were based on morality and ethics, my job would be so much easier. But she said our laws a lot of times complicate what's right because they look to an outcome and don't look to how that outcome is being achieved. So they don't put the ethical or moral factor in it.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, you know, it is what it is, and it won't probably change in my lifetime or even in your lifetime. But the point is that it needs to be made so. It needs to be said and repeated until everybody gets the fact that there is no difference between a man and a woman. There are differences in their color. There are differences in their heritage. Just like there is between men and men and women and women. Men and women, the only differences are in our bodies, in our makeup. Other than that, we should be equal because we're human beings. We all have brains. We all have hearts. We all have voices. And the voices of women need to be recognized. It's no longer the olden days. We are in a century when things are changing moment by moment with technology and with all the things that we offer to the people of the world. And yet, there's still this stigma attached to being a woman. And that has to be let go of. That has to be stopped. And we have to be able to rightfully take our place beside the men, not behind them. And I feel that, and I'll feel that way until they put me 6 foot under. So, and I don't feel.
I said I agree 100%.
Right. So we're gonna. It's time to close up shop, and I have. I hope I've made my point, and I hope I've kind of given a morale boost to a lot of the women I know who struggle every day and who probably know exactly what I'm talking about when I say this. So strength be with you, and or may the force be with you or whatever you need to hear because we are what we are and there's nobody like us. So we just need to make sure the whole world knows that we're equal. So good night, everybody, and God bless. Good night, Miss Shelley. Talk to you tomorrow.
Yes, talk to you tomorrow, Maureen. Good night, everyone.